Hey everyone, this is Made for Music. I am your host, Duncan Byerjohn. I grew up in the greater Seattle area and have lived in the Pacific Northwest my whole life. There is a wonderful, vibrant music scene up here with an incredibly welcoming community. And growing up, music was my ultimate passion, but I didn't know how to get started. So this podcast will explore the Northwest music scene, how to navigate it, the resources available to you, and most importantly, the stories behind the people making things happen. This is Made for Music. Welcome to Made for Music. Today's friend of the podcast is currently on her first ever tour, coming through after playing the Black Lodge last night in Seattle. Blending fuzzy guitar sounds, pop, and the occasional reference to plants in her bedroom, she delivers an eclectic mix of tunes and is managed by Episode 3 guest Evan Johnson. Currently preparing for a 10-hour drive back to California, please welcome a lover of Cloud Nothings, Frankie Cosmos, and Great Grandpa, a very talented photographer and taco connoisseur, Shab Ferdowsi of Blush.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks again so much for doing this. I guess for those who aren't familiar, how did you get started in music? Mm-hmm. And how did, I guess, you get to Blush?
Yeah, sure. Well, how I started in music, I'll say that I started a music blog in 2013. I was bored in college. And that took me to starting to throw shows in my parents' backyard when I graduated from college.
Very cool.
And that, for the next few years, took me all around the local music scene, from throwing shows to my parents' backyard to other people's backyards to then starting to promote locally at local venues and just getting more settled into the scene and all the while, always just taking pictures because I was always first and foremost a photographer. At a certain point, I had always had a guitar in my room, and I had always, I'd pick it up and like strum like a C chord every now and then and whatnot. But I never really sat down to like write music and write words to the music I was writing. So sometime in 2015, that kind of just naturally, I think, started happening. I probably wrote like one or two songs in 2015, and one of them was actually I Don't Want to Leave, which is the first song I ever put out. Oh, no, it was like not the first song I put out, but anyway, it was on the first EP. Mm-hmm. So in 2015, I was actually gonna be moving to Ireland for a few months.
Oh, wow.
And I had a working holiday visa, which meant that I could get a part-time job, but I found out that one of my friends in Ireland was making a living off busking on the streets. So I thought that was hilarious. And I thought if he can do it, then I could probably do it even if I don't know how to play songs. Yeah. So I was like, you know what? I'll just like pretend that I can. But in order to do that, obviously I'm going to need to write songs. For some reason, I didn't think about covering songs, which is insane. I was like, okay, I need to write songs to busk on the streets. So as a joke, honestly, it was a joke. I thought it would be funny if I could pretend to be a musician for a few months. So that's why I honestly started writing songs. And while I was in Ireland, I continued to write more songs. Then it all of a sudden wasn't a joke anymore. It was just more like of a thing that I did now. And when I came back to LA in 2016, with not much of an intention of really doing anything with that music, more just like, this is something that I've done the past few months. I showed the music to my friends who were, again, all at the time, like all musicians, just because of the network that I had built the past few years. They decided they want to record my music and they decided they want to play in my band. And I was like, well, if you guys want to, I guess now that's what I'm doing now. I guess now I'm going to record music and start a band.
Nice.
So that brings us to fall 2016 when I recorded Are We Too Far, started my live band and played a show all within 3 weeks of November 2016,
wow.
Which was like the craziest thing. Like I'll probably never do anything like that again. Like recorded the song 3 weeks before it came out.
Wow.
Then had my first band practice 3 days before the show.
Oh my goodness.
Never having ever played in a band before. Never having played, like, I had played some solo shows here and there, but they were not on stages. There were no lights. Like, there was no one in the crowd. So this was pretty, I mean, thinking about myself then, like, damn, I had guts. Like, yeah. Do I still have those guts? I'm not sure. But so that's the inception of Blush, really.
Right on.
And over the past 2 years since then, it's been like it's been a process of like tipping the balance of where I lie within like the music scene and just like the music world, where I spent so long helping other bands and doing so much for other bands, like on the back end of it, to then being solely an artist now. And I still think I do help bands and whatnot when I can, but I've just decided that writing music is more fun than sending emails.
Yeah. Would you say that helps as far as developing your band? Because I know that a lot of folks that I talk to that are musicians don't understand or don't like the business side. Yeah. Do you feel like that helped?
Yeah. I mean, I would not be able to be where I am had I not had the experience I did. Like, I'm on my first tour, but little do you know that I've been on 4 tours before, and I've booked 2 of them, and I've tour managed 2 of them, and like, I know what to look for, and I know who to hit up, and I already had contacts when booking the thing, and like, it's just, it's pretty crazy. And I feel like kind of like I don't know, I feel kind of bad that I have this luck for a newbie band, but I mean, I put in the work for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was years of hard work, and like, low-key got a little stressful here and there, but at the end of it, I came out liking the managerial part of having a project, whether it be a band or whatnot. Like, I like coordinating people, and I like seeing a project from start to finish. So just built some good skills, I would say, that definitely help in having a band.
Right on. And I guess for people who are maybe starting a band or trying to figure out where to go, I guess high level, what would you be your advice for that as far as seeing a project end to end, or setting up a tour or an album cycle?
Yeah, I would say definitely being persistent. Definitely don't give up. Definitely don't send an email and, you know, you realize you don't get a reply and like, then you just quit, because that's just not how it works. You know, I have an email tracker, and sometimes people don't even open your email. So being persistent, being on time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I generally am motivated just like intrinsically, whatever, however you pronounce that word. New ideas excite me. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, granted, sometimes I don't finish the projects I begin, whether it be a song or a photo series or whatnot, but I think just, like, keep doing your thing, honestly. Mm-hmm. Just keep doing your thing and don't care about what other people think and what music people might like, what photos you should have on your Instagram and whatnot.
Yeah, I feel like the cookie cutter thing everyone gets is use the same filter for your Instagram and don't change up, and then if you stress so much about it, it just becomes like forced looking.
Yeah, and that's not the point. Like, all the bands that I love, like, they look at their Instagrams. It's literally just like the lead Instagram person being themselves and, you know, just traveling through the band's life process.
Yeah exactly.
Like, it doesn't matter. But I mean, there's probably like bajillion people right now, you know, thinking otherwise,
right? I think it all depends. I think what I've always thought was the best marketing mantra to live by is that it's way easier to market if you are just being yourself, because it's just being natural. So you don't have to like sit down and be like, all right, let's plan out this thing, like but I think a pipeline of content's good, but I just have like 10, 15 pictures that are like queued up, so that when I'm like, all right, this is a cool one, and then go.
Yeah, totally. I mean, definitely, it's unfortunately now being a band, being a musician, first you're a musician, but you at this now you have to, aside from just being an artist, you also have to, you know, be an actor in your music videos and be a performer on stage, be a marketer for your merch, and be good at web design and graphic design and photography, and like it's unfortunate that that's like where it's at for indie bands who and just like independent musicians who the reason they do what they do is because they like to make art and make music, and that generally just happens in the bedroom. And there's so much more now that comes along with that if you want to be doing anything more outside of your bedroom. but then, you know, there are people who you can ask for help.
Yes.
And like, I love doing all this. I loved making my website. I love everything that has to do from everything like media and visual. And thankfully I do enjoy social media and whatnot, but at a certain point, I'm not going to be able to do it myself. At a certain point, I'm going to have to decide, okay, instead of spending 2 hours on this website, I probably should have like, I don't know, tuned my guitar.
Anyway, yeah. You know? For sure.
Song or something.
Yeah. I guess if or when do you decide like, all right, it's time to outsource this? Because as stuff starts to pick up, like you said, you just list a whole lot of things.
Totally.
There's only so much time.
Yeah. I don't know, honestly, but, I don't know when that's going to come. Because, and maybe my case is maybe specific too, because I like to, I like making my single artwork, and I have a fun time on social media and thinking about all these things. But at a certain point, I don't know when that's going to come, maybe next year, who knows, I'm going to be needing to spend more time writing songs and recording and touring. Like, imagine bands who are touring all year long. I mean, can't deal with any of that stuff.
Yeah.
And along with that too, what I'm realizing, one big realization on this tour is that even though like I love all the tour management aspects of being on tour, I cannot do it by myself. And up until now, like I haven't really bestowed any, responsibilities onto any bandmates because my bandmates have all just been bandmates. They learn my music and play my music and perform with me. And already that's, I feel like, a lot to ask of people who aren't writing these songs. Hopefully that'll change. Hopefully we'll all be writing the songs together, but, I cannot be like sitting in a car, like 3 hours away from the venue, like about to play a show, but also, thinking about how much money we made from merch last night, how much money we just spent on gas, how much money we're spending on food, how much money we need to make, where are we staying tonight, how much merch we have left, what time do we need to get to the venue, is there a backline, all these questions that I'm totally fine, like, handling, because, I like to manage projects and coordinate between different people and resources and whatnot, but when I'm also playing a show that night, it gets a lot.
Yeah, it's like you spend all the energy. It's like, oh, wait, now I got to go perform.
Yeah, and I realized that probably like day two or three, and I was like, I can't do it all. I mean, I cannot do it all.
Right.
Which is a realization to have. Yeah.
Well, because it's also, especially you mentioned like you're writing all these yourself, and it's like you're like baby, you know, and it's like having to go here,
right.
Someone else take care of it for
it's
a little
true.
Bit. It's like,
yeah,
it's like I'm the same. I like the control aspect.
Yeah. And a lot of that is definitely that, at a certain point, even though I like to, you know, make art for my single artworks and, you know, EP covers and whatnot, because I feel like, you know, I feel like everything about Blush and the project is like my creative input, not just the music.
Right.
At a certain point, I'll have to like kind of let go of that, and just be okay with that.
Yeah. So I guess you mentioned that this kind of came out of busking in Ireland.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of sorry, I'm rewinding you a little bit.
Yeah.
But I guess what like inspired you, right? And how much did like Ireland itself influence the way that you approach music?
You know, that's funny. Like I forget about this a lot, but when I was in Ireland, a lot of the musicians I was meeting and a lot of the bands that I liked were in like the pretty like for lack of a better term, garage pop genre, and through them discovered a lot of music, whether it was like through recommendations or bands they were playing with, again, all in the garage pop genres, bands like Sheer Mag and J Riotard, and that like really, really just like kind of started hitting me like in a in like a way music hadn't had before. And a few months before moving to Ireland, I would say is when I like really fell into my music taste, when I discovered Always and The Babies, two bands who like, I don't know what it was one day when I like fell onto them and like it just really struck a chord. And from there it was just like a rabbit hole of like Spotify related artists. So then being in Ireland, like writing songs and meeting these musicians and just discovering more of the music that like I started realizing I liking, definitely like pushed me even further into like that rabbit hole of like Spotify related artists, quote unquote. Yeah.
Great tool.
And then too, I think just getting it, being there for the month, I was supposed to, again, be there for, I was able to be there for a year because of my working holiday visa, ended up only being there for a month, not working, and just like being there, writing songs, meeting people, and trying to, you know, make my way through the music scene. And with that, that meant I had so much time on my hands, and also so much time to like take my guitar out by the bay and write songs, which is a crazy thing. You can't write by the bay in LA.
Yeah.
But it just got me in the habit of it, honestly. I was writing songs every single day. None of them even made it anywhere today. But that doesn't matter. It just got me in the habit of like sitting by a guitar and like having things naturally come out of my hands and my voice. And so then by the time that I got back home, like, it wasn't a thing that I had to, it's not, and even and up until now too, it's not a thing where I'm telling myself I should start writing songs now. It's just a ingrained part of like how I think. And I'm always like thinking about melodies and, you know, my voice memos are at, you know, upwards of, you know, hundreds of memos, yeah. You know? So yeah. That was a pretty life-changing month. Yeah.
That it's crazy how voice memos has become such a songwriting tool.
It's when insane.
I doubt that was ever...
Yeah.
When that app was being created, I don't think they were like, musicians are going to need to sing ideas into this. It was probably some like super corporate,
I
like
mean,
you're
I'm
in a
meeting.
I'm
pretty sure every phone ever has had a voice memo like tool.
Yeah.
But... I mean, it's just so handy now.
Yeah,
you know?
It's crazy. It's like, oh, I have this, and boom, right?
Yeah.
When I was doing like pen and paper stuff, it was the most frustrating thing ever because I'd like write like maybe the lyric down,
but not the melody.
To notate the melody, and then I'd come back and be like, I don't remember
what
it was.
Yeah,
like,
that's crazy.
So when you were in Ireland and then when you come back, do you write typically on acoustic guitar?
I was, and I have been everything ever that I have recorded in and out. I've written on an acoustic guitar, even sometimes classical, because I started on a classical guitar, and I have both of those at home. I haven't written... Electric guitar is really new to me, too. I got my first electric guitar, like, a few months before I started the band in 2016, and I'm still not, like, 110% comfortable with it. I don't even think I'm 100% comfortable with it. Still, like, you know... getting comfortable with how it feels when I'm standing, when I'm sitting, and just like playing on it, and discovering new sounds. And I just got an amp for the first time that has a drive knob, and we're talking about like getting an overdrive pedal for me. So like
there
all these
go.
Things that are like totally gonna change the way I write and the way I think when I'm writing. So I'm excited to see how like my songwriting progresses. Honestly, I haven't written much in the past 2 years of or 3 years of writing, and it's exciting to me because I feel like I've done a lot in the past 3 years.
For sure.
Everything's happened pretty fast. But I mean, it's been fun.
Cool. So how do you translate that then? You've got the song on acoustic, and then how do you turn it into this like garage pop kind
of
sound?
So funny thing, and I think this is probably why a lot of my friends probably resonated with like the songs I was showing them, because like even though I started writing on acoustic, it was all like just like fast downstrokes, not power chords. I didn't know what power chords were until last year. I would like just change the capo on the fretboard and just like fast downstrokes, open chords, which is like quintessentially kind of like a power poppy vibe, even on an acoustic. And so like translating didn't even need to happen because I would literally just play what I was playing on an electric guitar. So that way the translation was easy. Then the translation back to acoustic guitar, though, like I've tried to play solo sets by myself on an acoustic, and it just doesn't translate the same because as far as like live, like I don't feel the same energy playing the music live from the audience. I have way more fun like when the people are like moshing.
I'm with you.
And so I'll do solo sets in like house show settings, but generally now, even if I'm writing on an acoustic, I'm imagining it as if I was playing on an electric, and that's basically how I write. Just and we'll see how that changes too again with time, as far as like my rhythm and my adaptability and agility with a guitar.
Cool. So like when you take that to the studio, then is it? Do you keep parts acoustic, or is it just all right? We're going the power pop route, so let's like plug in the guitar, and then. I guess part two to that question would be, how do you like land on a tone and decide that that's what the direction is going to be for a song?
So the recording process has been interesting. I've recorded the two EPs with the two of my friends, Ari and Yanni. Ari was in my band for a year. He was my guitarist for a year, which helped a lot in the recording process. And they were just both really talented producers and musicians and good friends, which helped a lot. And so a lot of the sound that anyone hears right now is definitely shaped by their ears and their hands. And so anything you hear, honestly, like was a process of us working together on it. There's some acoustic guitar in the recordings. But a lot of the production was like a lot of their brain, and a lot of their direction, with me like kind of holding their hand through it sort of thing.
Nice.
And it'll be interesting to move forward to, now that I'm just, you know, getting better at playing music, writing music, understanding music, and just understanding like what I want a song to come out when I first start writing it. Because I can't produce and I don't record myself, and all I know how to play and write are my own rhythm parts and the core, you know, song and melodies and lyrics.
That's still a lot.
I just bought an amp for the first time, and there's like a new motivation, a new inspiration in the past like 6 months, ever since or like 4 or 5 months since my EP came out, that I've been feeling, and that's like just purely the fact that now I think I'm pursuing music now. Whereas like 7 months ago, I definitely was not. I was just, you know, doing my own thing, freelance photography and like booking shows and like doing my thing behind the scenes. And I also happen to play music, and I also happen to perform the songs that I write on stage. But the thought of like pursuing music more than that was like not even really in my head. It was maybe in the air, but not in my head.
Over
time that like I've started having more fun and becoming more comfortable with everything, it's just becoming more clearer and just easier to make the decision to like go down this route and pursue it harder than I was. Helps a lot too to have people who support me, from the label to other friends and teammates.
So I guess how did that come about, like as you built your team, because you were owning everything to start, like how did that come along, and was that kind of a natural just like, all right, this is the next step, or how did that come to
honestly
be?
I'm a big believer in cold emails, and when I got the masters back for this Thanks for Asking EP in February, I knew I wanted to shop it around to some indie labels. And I just sent, honestly, like 10 emails, 10 cold emails, or like half of them were probably cold. Half of them were probably emails. Just people I knew, super indie labels all over the country, and maybe some like in the UK too. None of them got back to me, except one got back to me within like hours of my first email.
Oh, right on.
That was Yellow K Records. And they were super excited, and that made me super excited. So then that began the process of like just kind of talking back and forth about the contract and sending that back and forth until we got it to where we all wanted it to be. And then in, I think, March, they started the promotion process for the singles and the EP. It was like March or April. And then, I mean, that was it really. Like then the PR campaign started, and that ran for a couple months with the two singles and, the EP and a music video. And that was awesome. And that like opened so many doors, and just like, even if they weren't doors, they were windows, and, just like threw my music way further than I could have thrown it myself. It is, the LOK is still a small label from the East Coast, run by like three people. They care a lot. They've helped a lot, especially with this first EP, or this like my second EP, but the first EP on there. As far as the team goes, I mean, it's still officially like it's just me and now been working a lot with this Evan that we are a mutual
Evan
friend.
Johnson. Episode 3.
And that's been really, really awesome. Evan, as you know, is based in Seattle and a talent buyer at a couple venues here. And he found my music after the first single hit Stereo Gum in May. That was the first like first proof of product basically of like the effects and efforts of PR through the label, through my cold email. And it's been really fun to see like just random things like that come to fruition, and see people who know about me and they're not my friends. Which is cool.
What you're talking about, that was super cool. You noted on this tour you're seeing people that are showing up that know your music, and it's like not a friend. It's like, this is
insane.
Net new person.
Yeah, they've been listening to my music and they are fans. They're not friends. They're not from LA. It's insane.
That's super cool. I guess what's kind of next? Like, I know you're kind of wrapping up this tour and you've got this new amp. Is it going to be writing, or should we be expecting you to come back up to the area, or what's happening?
At this point, I don't know. I can't promise or confirm anything. I do know that like I'm so excited to write a lot. I'm super excited. It's been a short tour, but it's only gotten me more motivated and inspired to like write so much more.
Nice.
The amp is going to be so fun to play with. And I have been working on just like demos and ideas. I have so many voice memos I need to get back to. musically, that's where I'm at. Maybe like think about a couple pedals I should get and whatnot.
Fun and dangerous territory.
Yeah. starting the process of writing songs and getting the band together to like actually spend time on the songs together, which is something I've never done. Outside of musically, always working on things behind the scenes and hoping to get back out there. And I think that's the main thing, I think, personally.
Nice.
Try to get back out there. South by would be cool if anybody out there wants to have us.
There you go.
So there's a lot in our heads, and cool. It's just a matter of kind of locking things down and getting the ball rolling. And we'll see what that means.
Right on.
Yeah.
Well, it's super exciting, and thank you so much for stopping by. I know you've got a crazy drive ahead of you, so keep us posted on anything that comes up. We'll be putting together a Spotify playlist of all the bands that we kind of talked about, as well as your stuff. So
awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, for sure. Travel safe.
Thank you. It's not fine. It never was. You were right. Still too much. So up caring. You're already sinking. Crashing down. I see myself. I'm over. I'm over.
crashing down. I save myself. I'm over.
That was I'm Over It by Blush. Thanks again to Shab for making the time to come and do this interview despite a busy tour schedule. She actually just released a book of photos that she took on tour with her point-and-shoot film camera, so be sure to check that out. All proceeds are going to be going towards band's recording costs, merchandise, etc., and we want to help them get back to the greater Pacific Northwest. And if you want to listen to the songs and artists discussed during this week's episode, follow Made for Music on Spotify, as we actually curate playlists dedicated to each interview. And if you've enjoyed this episode, please rate us on iTunes or whatever your preferred podcast listening site is. We really appreciate that extra effort, and we will see you next time.